The topic for this session is receiving God's gifts, and it's about the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our speaker is Peter Herbeck, who is Vice President and Mission Director for Renewal Ministries. He's the co-host of the television program, The Choices We Face, and he's a member of the Crossing the Goal television program on EWTN. He's also the host of a daily radio program, Fire on the Earth. As mission director, Peter leads a team of gifted lay missionaries who are working in more than 30 countries throughout Eastern Europe, Africa, and the Middle East, and Asia. Peter and his wife, Debbie, have 4 children, 1 grandchild, and they're members of Christ the King Catholic Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Peter is a dear brother in the Lord, a very dynamic presenter, and you're going to enjoy him. Here's Peter.
Welcome, brothers and sisters. We're continuing our series, As by a New Pentecost. Today's talk is on receiving God's gifts. Last session, Patty Mansfield focused on the new life that we receive in the Holy Spirit. She talked about the baptism in the Spirit. And what we heard from her is really the culmination or the fulfillment of Jesus' whole ministry. Jesus came, he became one of us, took on human flesh. He died for our sins on the cross. He shed his blood. He passed through death. He conquered death and passed into life itself. He passed beyond death. And in his flesh, he took each one of us, each baptized person with him from death to life. Where Jesus has gone, we're going to follow. And Jesus rose to the right hand of the Father, where he's seated. And on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the first homily ever given by the first Pope Peter, he proclaimed the fundamental message of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Messiah. And on that day of Pentecost, Jesus fulfilled the promise that he gave the apostles when he was last with them. He said, "You will be clothed with power from on high." And that power is the promise, and the promise is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus' ascension, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Christianity at its heart is a new life in the Holy Spirit that is established and empowered by the Spirit given to us by Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Messiah means anointed, the one who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus takes his place at the right hand of the Father, all power and authority belong to him. And then on our behalf, he pours out all of his gifts. And that first gift is, he said, the baptism in the Spirit, which Patty spoke about in our last session. And we receive that new life in the Holy Spirit at our baptism. But that's not all that we receive. In the context of that outpouring, we also receive spiritual gifts. Particular gifts that the Scripture talks about as charisms, and the church teaches us. Charisms are gifts, gratuitous gifts that the Lord gives us out of the endowment of his power and his grace. He pours out upon us their spiritual gifts that empower us to do the work of the Lord. Remember that passage I just referred to, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses." The church is a body of people. Each baptized person is called into the mission of Jesus and the mission of the Holy Spirit. But the church's mission can only be fulfilled by the power of God. We need the power of God to do the work of God. And the spiritual gifts are the standard equipment of believers that the Lord gives to each one of us. Each one of us receive what the Scripture refers to as a manifestation of the Spirit. Each baptized person is given certain spiritual gifts for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. What I'd like to do in the talk today is we'll go through what certain teachings the church gives us on the charisms and what they are. And then we'll look at a key passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul lays out a set of those spiritual gifts, and we'll define some of those. And then we'll go on to talk about how we can receive those gifts and respond to them and help prepare you for the next session, which will be praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. First, I want to begin just a little testimony. Back in 1978, way back when, I was 20 years old, and I was invited to come to a Catholic conference, a charismatic conference at the University of Notre Dame. It was the first time I ever attended a conference like that. There were about 33,000 people there. The theme of the conference was, "You shall be my witnesses." It was put on by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I didn't hardly know anybody there. A couple of people who I came with, I knew. And when I arrived, I thought, I'm in a very different place than most of the people who are here at this conference. Most of the people present at the conference seemed to be very alive in the Spirit, very alive to the Lord. They were radiant with joy. They were excited to be together. They were very expressive in their prayer and their praise. I was a very self-conscious 20-year-old. I'd come to Notre Dame to the conference in part because I wanted to see the campus at the University of Notre Dame. I wanted to see Touchdown Jesus and all of that. But at the heart of it, and I think in the deepest part of me, I was longing for something more. My heart was beginning to hunger, and some things had happened in my family in the previous few years where I began to see for the first time, or at least the first time I noticed, the power of God at work to change lives, and it began right in my own family. And so I began to be awakened to the presence and the power of the Spirit, and so I was open to going on this particular conference. While I was there, I began to see that what I was perceiving anyways, the difference between me and those who were speaking and many of the people that I met there. As I was saying, they seemed to be much more alive to the presence of the Lord in their life. They could speak about Him with great ease and with great confidence, and they had clarity about who they were in the Lord. They understood the Word of God in a way that I didn't. So it was all quite new to me. And throughout the weekend, I prayed that what I saw in those people, the Lord would give to me. And I remember I was discouraged a few times on the weekend about that ever happening because I knew my own weakness. At times in the past in my life, I had made promises to the Lord. As a young high school kid, on my way to the high school basketball game at night, I'd pass by the church. I'd jump into the church or the chapel and say, "Lord, if you help me score 20 points tonight, I'll go to Mass twice this week," or something like that. That was kind of the depth of my faith and understanding. And then I'd score 20 points or more, and then I'd forget about going. And that's kind of where I was at. I was very immature and hadn't really embraced and laid hold of my faith on a very deep level at all. And so I was praying with great earnest in that weekend. And I remember the closing Mass. I was there on a hot August day. I went to communion, and I came back, and I was standing in my place, and I had been praying with great earnest throughout the Mass, asking for the faith to be able to live radically like I saw in other people around me, and to be able to love like they loved. And I just knew my own weakness, and I was concerned that I'd leave that weekend and it would be back to the status quo for me. Well, as I was praying, I was standing in my place, a total stranger came up to me and tapped me on my shoulder and looked at my name tag, and he said, "Peter," he said, "I'm up here as a man, middle-aged," and he said, "I'm sitting up here about 5 or 6 rows behind you, and when you went to communion, I was waiting for my turn, and my eyes just fell on you." He was from Indianapolis, Indiana. And he said, "My eyes fell on you, and as soon as I saw you," he said, "the Spirit of the Lord touched me, and the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord told me to come and tell you something. Do you mind if I share it with you?" Now, I'd never heard anybody talk quite like this, at least directly to me, in that way, one-on-one, and I said, "Sure." And he looked at me, he looked right in my eyes, and he seemed to have such fire in his eyes and such confidence. And he said, "Peter, Jesus Christ has heard your prayer. The faith and the love that you seek shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you." And as soon as he said it, it was like, bam, the Spirit of God just came on me and touched me. And I felt the love of God pour into me with such intensity and such beauty and such power. I remember grabbing this total stranger and I pulled him to me, and I just was weeping and weeping. And as I was leaning on him, I just could see for the first time just a glimpse of the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. I was overwhelmed. I felt tremendous power from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I'm weeping on the shoulder of this total stranger, and I'm making a mess all over his shoulder, but as I was doing it, I felt for the first time, I heard within me the voice of the Lord, or what I understood to be the voice of the Lord, which he said, "Welcome, the reign of God is at hand. You're part of a whole new order." And I remember lifting up my head and opening my eyes, and it seemed like all around the stadium, people were being touched. Right there after communion, there was a radical communion in the Lord that was happening. And the Spirit of God was moving and manifesting himself throughout the place. Now, I share that story with you, one, because it was the moment I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it really did change my life. It wasn't like everything was perfect in my life after that. I didn't have struggles and things and I needed to deal with in my life. But without question, that encounter with Jesus, receiving Jesus as Lord and coming to understand what that meant in my life, was a game changer for me and absolutely empowered me to live a new way of life, as Patty was mentioning in the last session. Now, the other reason I wanted to share that with you is looking at kind of diagnosing what was happening there, taking apart the elements of that experience that day. What happened to me was I was in a situation where the Lord was being welcomed, the Spirit of God was present, and there were brothers and sisters, fellow Catholics, who were really alive to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the context of my need, which I hadn't shared with anybody else, really, except one guy who I shared a room with, this brother who I mentioned to you got a sense from the Lord and was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And he came to me and he spoke a word of knowledge. Now, as I read through the scriptures later, you'll see word of knowledge is one of the spiritual gifts that Paul mentions, one of the charisms. And a charism is a manifestation of the Spirit. So the Spirit heard my cry, moved a brother who didn't know me at all to come and speak a word to me. And as he spoke that word of truth, the power of the Holy Spirit was released. And that power went forward and it touched me. And it opened me to the Lord and to be able to understand and to grasp and to say, really in the deepest way ever in my life, Jesus Christ is Lord. And no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord without the manifestation or the presence and the power of the Spirit at work, helping us grasp and understand and see who the Holy Spirit is. So it's just an example of how spiritual gifts work. And as St. Paul tells us, to each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That brother had a spiritual gift and a spiritual anointing in that moment that he exercised. He was obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. And that obedience led to an empowerment in my life. And so the body of Christ, that is me in particular, I was built up in the Spirit because of that brother's action and the exercise of the charism that he used. Now, there's four primary passages in the New Testament that talk about charisms, but they don't present an exhaustive list. There's all kinds of gifts that the Lord gives to us and a broad range of them. The first one's in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, and then 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about charisms and spiritual gifts. Gifts that the Spirit grants us, that is, these charisms, they are gifts that the Spirit grants us to associate us with His work, to enable us to collaborate in the salvation of others and in the growth of the body of Christ and the church. This is section 2, paragraph 2003, 2003 in the Catechism. It goes on. There are furthermore special graces, also called charisms, after the Greek term used by St. Paul in meaning favor, gratuitous gift, or benefit. Whatever their character, sometimes it's extraordinary, such as the gift of miracles or the gift of tongues. Charisms are oriented toward sanctifying grace, that is, that new life in the Spirit, that's holiness of life and being united to God. Charisms help us in that call to holiness and that condition of the new condition the Lord gives to us through baptism and the sharing of His life. And they're intended for the common good of the church. They're at the service of charity, which builds up the church. So the Lord equips us, each and every one of us, with spiritual power to build up His body. And our natural gifts can't accomplish that on their own. We need God's help. We need spiritual power to accomplish that. So charisms are given by the Holy Spirit to Christians to empower them to perform a particular kind of service or work to build up the life of the church and to carry out her mission in the world. The Holy Spirit apportions charisms to each one individually as He wills. And by that action, He imparts a new power and a new capacity to undertake a new activity for the building up of the body of Christ. These charisms release spiritual power that are needed to do, as I said, a spiritual work. Now, each and every one of us, every baptized person has received some spiritual gift or gifts. And we each have a right and a duty to exercise those gifts. So again, from the decree on the apostolate of the laity from the Second Vatican Council. From the acceptance of these charisms, there arise for each believer the right and the duty to use them in the church and in the world for the good of men and women and the building up of the church in the freedom of the Holy Spirit who breathes where he will. So we have a right and a duty. And so the proper disposition that we need to have toward these gifts is to welcome the gifts and to be grateful and to receive them. And so the document on called Christa Fidelis Laici, which Pope John Paul II wrote, which is a letter to the lay faithful, to you and to me, to all the unordained, but really to the whole church, said the following. The fresh breath, he's quoting, here it is. The charisms are received in gratitude, both on the part of the one who receives them and also on the part of the entire church. They are in fact a singularly rich source of grace for the vitality of the apostolate and for the holiness of the whole body of Christ. So he wants to underline, he did, in the whole ministry of Pope John Paul II and the ministry of Paul VI and the ministry of Pope Benedict XVI is a constant urging for each one of us to welcome the spiritual gifts, to be open and to receive gladly and gratefully the charisms that Jesus bestows on his church to equip her to be built up in love and to accomplish the mission that she's been given. Here's an example of that. I love this quote from Pope Paul VI. This is way back in 1973. He said, "The fresh breath of the Spirit, too, has come to awaken latent energies within the church, to stir up dormant charisms, and to infuse a sense of vitality and joy. It is this sense of vitality and joy which makes the church youthful and relevant in every age and prompts her to proclaim joyously her eternal message to each new epoch, to each new period of time." So what he's saying is he makes an important point here. He said the Holy Spirit is acting in a fresh way in our time. Again, Pope John Paul II said something very similar, to help us rediscover something, to lay hold of something that in this case, Pope Paul VI said, to lay hold of gifts that lie dormant in the lives of many of the baptized. Because every person who's been baptized, every person who's been confirmed has received spiritual gifts, this endowment from Jesus to do the work of the Lord. And the Holy Father said, you can tell we're experiencing a new Pentecost because it's a time of the Spirit's stirring and the Spirit coming to equip us and to move us into what the Lord has called us to. And here's Pope John Paul II said, "Open yourselves meekly to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Accept with gratitude and obedience the gifts that the Spirit does not cease to give. Do not forget that each charism is given for the common good. In other words, for the benefit of the entire church." So you've been given a gift or gifts, and I have as well, by the Lord. And he really wants us to take up his heart and to be concerned to exercise those gifts so that we can help the body be built up and to be strengthened. Now, a few things about what charisms are not. First, charisms are not something we earn. They're not a reward for something. They're just simply a gift of God that the Lord pours out into our life. They're not necessarily a sign of personal holiness. Personal holiness is something different. Sanctity and holiness. The Lord gives his gifts, and sometimes we can see his gifts operating in people who are not being faithful sometimes to the Lord. And so they're not a sign or a badge of holiness or that I'm something special. They're not an expression of natural gifts. Now, our natural gifts we're born with. They're inborn, and we receive those from our parents and whatever God's plan has been for us. But spiritual gifts come to us from the Lord, and they're different. I had an example in our television program last year. We interviewed a wonderful physician, a doctor who had been practicing medicine for a long time, been very successful, a very good doctor, very skilled doctor, had a lot of natural talent. He was brilliant. He knew how to use his hands well, all the rest of it, you know, doing surgeries. But at a certain point, he came to a spiritual awakening in his life. He was a Catholic man who came to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he realized that the Lord was calling him not only to use his natural gifts, but also to pray for people for healing on occasion. And so he documented for us a variety of people who he had prayed with who actually were physically healed. Now, he healed some using his natural talents. On other occasions, he prayed over some people who the Lord used, and there was a manifestation of the Spirit in power, and the Spirit manifested himself in an actual healing or a whole series of healings that he documented for us. So the natural gifts and the spiritual gifts are not exactly the same thing. And they're not for our own upbuilding, as Bobby said, but they're for the upbuilding of others. And also, they're not identical with the Isaiah gifts, the gifts from Isaiah chapter 11 that we all receive at baptism: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those gifts are help build the character and conform us to the image of Jesus, and they're stable within us. They're not particular manifestations of the Spirit for the building up or the mission of the body. Now, let's look at a passage, a key passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. St. Paul writes this. He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be uninformed." Or another translation is, "I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts." Unfortunately, there's a lot of ignorance in the church about spiritual gifts, but we're living at a time when the Lord is moving and help all of us lay hold again of these fundamental truths. Paul goes on, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another is faith by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. And another working of prophecy. Another the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another various kinds of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Now, we're going to just look at a few of these and try to understand what they are. Now, let's talk about the word of knowledge. The example I gave you of the man who came to me, he'd received a word from the Lord that I couldn't know on my own, and he couldn't know on his own, but he received a grace from the Holy Spirit to give him insight to what was going on in my heart. Jesus revealed my heart to him. And he came and he spoke a word, and when he spoke that word, it opened my heart more to the Holy Spirit, and I was able to receive that gift. So he spoke that word of knowledge. Another gift is prophecy. Prophecy is speech inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's especially for building up encouragement and consolation for us in the body of Christ. He said, Luke, for example, identifies Barnabas as a prophet, as well as Judas and Silas, and sometimes the gift is used to foretell the future. When Jesus foretold the future about the temple, the ransacking of the temple, the fall of the temple that was going to happen in Jerusalem. So, but doesn't always. But it's mostly about the encouraging and building up of the body of Christ. Now, there's other gifts that the examples I just gave you are called word gifts. They're categorized sometimes. It just helps us think about them a little bit. So I want to talk about a couple other gifts called sign gifts. Obvious sign gift is the healing that I spoke to you about. The doctor discovered that the Lord had given him a gift to be able to pray for healing. Now, we're all called to pray for the sick. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to participate in the mission of the church. But sometimes the Lord gives special gifts and special anointing to various people to exercise those gifts with greater power and consistency. So healing is one of those. Another one is working of miracles. Is a God-given ability to perform on-the-spot manifestations of God's power. Here's a good example. When St. Peter was walking to the gate Beautiful, and there was a crippled man there who cried out to Peter and John and asked for money. And Peter looked at him and turned to him, and he was probably also exercising the gift of faith, that supernatural gift that in the moment he knew that God wanted to act. And he looked at the man and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And so the man rose and stood and was healed, and it was a miracle. And Peter was able to exercise that gift because the Lord had given it. Peter, the apostles had many spiritual gifts that they used and exercised. Another gift, there's the gifts of service, like hospitality. Hospitality is a God-given ability to provide an open house and a warm welcome to neighbor and to those in need, and to communicate to them the love of Jesus in a way that brings refreshment, comfort, and rest. Paul, the scriptures exhort us to practice hospitality. Another thing we're all called to do, but some people seem to have a particular gift, be able to make a setting profoundly welcoming to people and help them restore and to be restored and to find rest. Another gift of service would be the gift of giving. It's an outstanding gift of liberality and sharing one's goods with others cheerfully. I have a couple in mind, some friends who are involved in ministry and evangelization. They're very generous people. They don't make a lot of money, but it seems like they give away almost two-thirds of what God gives them to live on each year. Whenever they see a need, wherever they are around the world, they're supremely generous, and they do it with such joy and with such freedom. They bless people with things that God has given to them. And they often tell me, I'm always amazed at how generous they are. And they said, Peter, you can't outdo God in generosity. So they have that tremendous trust and capacity to have Jesus' heart of giving and liberality in that giving. Okay. One of the things that's important for us to see as we begin to think about charisms and spiritual gifts is to recognize our own and think about our own disposition in relationship to those gifts. We want to ask ourselves and hear the exhortation of the recent popes, all of them with great urgency inviting you and inviting me to welcome the spiritual gifts, to hunger for the spiritual gifts. I mean, St. Paul tells us to urgently desire the spiritual gifts. And that's the kind of disposition we want. Now, in the next session, you're going to be prayed with for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wants to do that and to give you, to touch your heart and to reveal His Lordship and His Majesty to you and to stir those gifts that you've been given in baptism and confirmation to empower you to live more fully in the Spirit. Well, one of the things He wants to do as well is He wants to stir up, as Pope Paul VI said, He wants to stir up dormant charisms. He wants to stir up the spiritual gifts that He's given to you. Now, I've written a little booklet that could be helpful for you that we'll offer called Welcome the Spiritual Gifts. It builds on and lays out more of, looks at the Bible passages that I haven't looked at here, and looks at many of the gifts and gives definitions for those gifts so you can grow in understanding. That's one way to urgently desire the spiritual gifts, is to grow in your understanding and to make an effort at doing that. And then to be open and simply to welcome those spiritual gifts. Now, the session that's coming up, the next session on praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, another way to be ready for that and to ready our heart and to ready our spirit is to repent, is to examine our lives and ask ourselves honestly, is there anything in my life that's operating right now that I'm holding on to that's inconsistent with the Lord's plan, that is sinful, that is wrong, that I know I shouldn't be involved in, that the Lord wants me to let go of? And I just want to read a few things that are helpful, maybe to give you some sense of how to examine your conscience and what things might be inconsistent. So, for example, if you're involved in spiritualism or witchcraft or occultism of any kind, or sexual intercourse outside marriage, adultery, homosexual acts, murder, robbery, shoplifting, cheating, lying, slander, drunkenness, excessive use of drugs, these kinds of things all are obstacles to our being free to receive the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. So if any of these things or any other sins that the Scripture describes are operating in your life right now, I'd encourage you to make sure and get to confession. Best place to go. Don't ever be afraid to go to confession, because it's the Lord who's there. The Lord wants to forgive you. He's got a heart of mercy. What the enemy wants to do in this period of time between now and the next session when you're prayed with is he wants you to get discouraged about where your life is, to doubt that God loves you, to doubt that God's going to do anything with you and pour out His Spirit upon your life. But also he's going to get you to feel that you're not worthy, and to get you to feel full of guilt and shame. You don't need to do that. Examine your heart, examine your mind before the Lord. Go to confession. Make a good confession and just empty everything that you have. One of the ways to urgently desire what God wants to give you is to release everything that you know He doesn't want you to have. So I'd encourage you to do that. Also, as you go into this next period of time, make sure you take time to read some of these passages that I mentioned to you in the New Testament and meditate on those. And bottom line, remember this, that God the Father is a loving Father. He knows you. He loves you. There's a beautiful passage in the Gospels. I think it's in John's Gospel, where Jesus makes clear, and he said that if a child asked a father for a loaf of bread, would he give him a stone or would he give him a snake? Of course not. His heart is disposed toward the child. He'd give him what he needed, what he asked for. And he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you, to anyone who asks, give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks the Father for it? That's the Father's heart towards you. He wants you to be able to receive all that His Son has won for you through His passion, through His death, and through His resurrection. He wants you to live in the grace of a new Pentecost. He wants you to rediscover the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and to come into the full endowment that belongs to you as a child of God. It's for you. You know, the Lord wants you to be fully engaged in His mission and to know clearly in your mind and heart, what are the gifts that the Lord has given me to build up the body? So you can be motivated and empowered to take your place in the great adventure, the high adventure, the great mission that Jesus calls every one of His disciples to, all the baptized, to engage in His mission to proclaim the gospel. You have been given in your baptism and in confirmation spiritual gifts that the body of Christ needs. Jesus has entrusted them to you. And He wants you to be able to exercise them. So these are exciting days. These are great days to just dive into the Word of God, dive into the teaching of the catechism, what the church teaches us about spiritual gifts, and stand with expectant faith, the kind of faith the Lord loves. He loves expectant faith, the kind of faith you spell R-I-S-K, the kind of faith that's willing to risk, to abandon ourselves and trust to the Lord, giving our whole heart, soul, and mind to Him, and knowing as I move forward, as I step into this plan for the Lord, I know He's faithful. And I know He's going to give to me just exactly what I need to live for Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you.